Ooh, ha ha ha. Welcome to the Beta Cast, episode number 26. 26, that's 2 and a 6. I have a very, very special, well, I can't call it guest because you won't be able to see or hear it because it's Hatsune Miku. I've been trying to unlock a bunch of achievements in the Steam version just recently released Hatsune Miku Project Diva, and one of them is you have to watch around 40 minutes of PVs, so videos, basically just music videos. So I just have it running in the background currently, so I'm just watching Miku dance while recording this podcast. I think it'll lift my spirits, maybe lift my voice, maybe I'll sound a little more excited. Or maybe I shouldn't, actually. This is a podcast. I'm supposed to be mellow and close to the mic. So, how are y'all doing? It is currently the beginning of June, E3 season, except E3 season's not here because E3 was canceled. And things feel weird this year. To me, it just feels weird. It's already had the state of play. We've already had the PlayStation 1, which was 30 minutes of 5 games that I didn't particularly care about all that much. It was Resident Evil 4 was interesting because it's Resident Evil 4. It's the Resident Evil game. And then there's Final Fantasy 16. That's about it. There wasn't much. And what makes me feel weird is that E3 shouldn't be starting yet. Usually E3 started like mid to late June, and it just feels weird when people are like, oh, Andrew, you know, the state of play is tomorrow. I'm like, tomorrow? Tomorrow? Okay. And then the Summer Games Fest thing, I think that happens next week, I think, like next Thursday. So that'll be like the 8th? I don't know exactly. That's a lot of math. You're asking me to do a lot of math on the spot. It feels weird. I wasn't interested in the PlayStation 1 because I don't have a PS5. And I have no... The only thing I cared about was maybe Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 2. That was the only thing I cared about. But it wasn't shown, which I guess is a good thing because it might be a PS5 exclusive if it was shown, and I don't have a PS5. I've got no reason to own a PS5. I have a PS4 Pro. There's no exclusive PS5 games I'm even remotely interested in. And if I'm going to play like one of the newer games with high resolution and all that stuff, I'm just going to play it on my PC. It's like, if you have a PS5 and you like, or if you have a PS4, no, wait, hold on. if you don't have a PS4, then getting a PS5 is the smartest thing. Because it's like you get to play all those PS4 games. There's so many good ones. And you get to play the PS5 games. And you get to play it in an increased resolution and frame rate like the PS4 Pro provides. It's great. Like, it makes sense. It really does make sense. But as someone who owns a PS4 Pro, I don't have any reason to, you know, do it. Do you want to know why I bought a PS4? Because this ties in perfectly with what I'm seeing on screen. I literally bought a PS4 for Hatsune Miku Project Diva Future Tone. For Miku. I bought a PS4 for Miku. I got it off Craigslist for cheap. I learned that the game was releasing, and I was like, whoa, this looks incredible. I gotta try this out. So I bought a PS4 off Craigslist for like, I think it was like $100, which was insanely cheap at the time. And I got Project Diva Future Tone, and it was incredible. Loved it. Got Project Diva X, incredible. Loved it. Persona 5, incredible. Loved it. All good stuff. And really love my PS4. Taiko is good on there too. Shadow of the Colossus. Something else that I'm not sure about. But there are really good games on the PS4. And then I got a PS4 Pro when one of my friends was like, oh man, I wish I had a PS4 to buy Persona 5 because I really want to play Persona 5. And I saw that there was a sale going on for a PS4 Pro for pretty darn cheap. But so I sold my old PS4 to him for a discounted price. And then I used that money to buy a PS4 Pro. So it was like I was upgrading to a PS4 Pro for maybe, I think, like $60. It wasn't much. They didn't care about getting a PS4 Pro, so it was perfect. They got the Persona 5, and I got my... It doesn't even do 4K. It was like, oh, I need the 4K. It doesn't do 4K. It doesn't. But I still enjoy it. And, yeah. So I didn't care about the state of play. I'm interested in the Summer Games Fest, but I don't know. It's... The Game Awards kind of had... I mean, it had Final Fantasy VII Remake PC port announcement, which was really cool, but I don't know. I don't watch the Game Awards for their announcements, and this is basically just that, where it's just the announcements. I probably am going to stream it. I guess I might as well. It's, you know what I mean, though? This is the feeling. Remember how I said this, like, it feels weird this year? It's just, I have this feeling of, like, I'll just wait for the Nintendo Direct. It's just like, I'm not really interested in like the Ubisoft presentation, which is usually just a treat to watch because it you maybe go like, haha, look at that, ha ha ha. It's usually a treat to watch just so you can go, ha ha. And it's just, they're not doing that this year. It's just kind of sitting here looking at these direct things and going like, eh. I'm good. I'll be okay. So, yeah, it's weird. I liked when they did E3. I think last year, right? They did the digital event, and it's like, of course, it was, you know, just a digital event, and people still did their own things, but it felt more like connected in a way. Like I could just search E3 things, and then boop, there's a list of all the things happening. It's just this year just feels so scattered and. That companies just don't care really, and yeah, it's kind of sad. It fills me with the feeling of like, man, I miss the old E3 times and all the conventions being like, whoa, you look at the show floor, look at that incredible thing, whoa, and companies put more of an effort into it with booths and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, oh, you know, for those 3 freaking days, there's going to be announcements and there's going to be this, because everything was just jam-packed into one day. But now it's just kind of like, well, we got a couple here, just one like 20 days later, we got something there. And yeah, we're showing off like, I don't know, Tunic. They showed off Tunic in the State of Play. That was like 10 minutes of the State of Play. That game's already out. I miss the feeling of E3, and it just doesn't feel here this year. I think that's the thing. It just doesn't feel here this year. I want to feel that joy of these 3 days are going to be filled with information, not this 30 days. Anyway, it matters absolutely none, but it was just a feeling I had. It was just a feeling I had. Is there any games coming out even? I can't think of anything. Like Breath of the Wild 2. Like, oh, that'd be cool to see some footage of that. I hope it is. And then, like, I want to see Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, but I can't really think of, like, anything else. Like, I mean, like, Metroid Prime 4, I guess, but it's all Nintendo things. I'm just going to watch the Nintendo Direct. It's like, at this point, I'll just watch the Nintendo Direct. I gotta say something. They got the new, like, Sonic Frontiers footage that came out. When they showed the trailer and they were like, oh, yeah, it's gonna be this sick, like, thing. They're gonna friggin', you're gonna be able to run in an open world and attack these monsters, stuff like that. And now that we've seen the footage, I'm like, oh, this is like kind of empty. Oh, the comet looks kind of okay. That's interesting. Kind of okay. It doesn't grab me. Breath of the Wild did such an incredible job of just capturing your attention from the get-go, from the moment that footage started playing. Because I remember where I was in the hotel room getting ready to drive over to E3. And I watched the footage of Breath of the Wild, and it like opens up to the deer and the animals and like the wind blowing through the trees. And then it shows like a bunch of different things you could do, the different like, what are those things called? Status effect? What the things with the tablet, the tablet things. And like how you can use the environment to attack enemies and all this kind of stuff and crazy bosses. And it's like, whoa, this looks sick. But like the Sonic trailer was kind of like, here's Sonic running. Here's Sonic on a rail. Here's Sonic jumping on something. There you go. You gotta hand it to Nintendo. They know how to make a freaking trailer. They know how to make a freaking trailer. Now, granted, Nintendo didn't show off Breath of the Wild until, like, it was ready to play. And it was like, okay, we got this whole section freaking done. Here you go. Look, check it out. Sonic, on the other hand, I don't think they've got that much. I don't think they've got that much. It sure doesn't look like they've got that much. So I have a feeling it's one of those things where it's a catch-22. You either show it off early and people are like, oh, this doesn't seem like there's much in there, because there isn't. Or you show it off late and people are like, oh my gosh, freaking just show it. And then their expectations go through the roof. There is such a fine balance with video game marketing. It is tough, dude. It is tough. You have to show off just enough, quick enough, to make the expectations what you need them to be. Otherwise, people are going to be really disappointed. It's like people, they'll create like these massive trailers with pre-rendered graphics that look incredible, and then the game comes out and it's like, oh, it doesn't actually look that good. And then you've got other ones that's like, oh, we're going to show you just the gameplay. And you're like, well, there's nothing really here. This doesn't look good. There's such a fine line of, we have to show real footage, real gameplay, but we have to make sure to show enough like life to it, enough content to it, to make it like interesting. Do you hear that car? Holy crap, that's a car. Anyway, it takes a lot of work. I really, really love watching video game trailers that were just like, wow, like this was so well made. Because you know that they put so much work into that. People were sitting there on their editing rooms for hours and hours and hours, just like, okay, we're going to do this. And then we need to sync that to the music. We need to do this. Okay, got to get this. It just makes you appreciate how much work they put into it. And you know, I don't think we give them enough credit. Where's the credits for the editors of that trailer? I want to know who made it. Was it Miyamoto? Did he make the trailer? I don't know, and I'll never know. But if any of you video game trailer producers are watching this podcast, shout out to you. Shout out to you. I'm sure you're definitely a patron. I'm sure of it. All right. Updates on Andrew. What has been going on? Well, I've been selling some game consoles to make a little extra money and save some space in the house. So I've been cleaning up Xboxes and tearing things apart, cleaning them up, putting them back together, selling them on eBay, all that kind of stuff. Because I feel like I've told this story a million times, but basically before we graduated, while Nooks and I were in college, we kind of just got bored of doing classes. And we were just like, let's just buy a bunch of video game consoles, clean them up, and open our own store. We were going to open our own video game store online, and we were excited for it. We were going to do all this cool stuff, and then we realized we could get into legal trouble. and that would be bad. That would probably be bad. For instance, if we shipped out a console that we thought worked, and then it just didn't, and they would be like, hey, we want our money back, and then we go, like, okay, we'll give you your money back. But then you have to deal with, what if people take it and then lie and say, well, it doesn't work, but it actually does. How do we figure that out? Or what about, like, we sell a console and it's got, oh, this has a ding here. I didn't see that ding. And then I don't want to get into an argument if it's like, no, you can clearly see the ding in this photo. No, you can't. It's like, and that's like my reputation on the line. I just felt it was too much. It was just too much for us to actually go through with. But we built like a website and everything. Like we set that crap up. We had like a logo. It was a cool idea. We were also going to make it where you could like trade in your old video games to get like store credit that you could then do it. So it would be like GameStop but online, and then like actually give you a fair price. But that comes with the whole section of like, well, now we got to like, we gotta figure out like, what is this worth? Are we gonna be losing money off of this thing? Like, what are we gonna do? We're gonna have to buy it low enough to resell it, or else, or maybe we just keep it. I don't know. It was gonna be tough, and it just wasn't worth trying the hassle and writing out terms and conditions and all that stuff. So we ended up just scrapping it, and all these consoles have been sitting in our closet for probably 3 or 4 years now. 3 or 4 freaking years. And it's been a lot. I mean, we've got like 4 Xboxes, 6 GameCubes, 3 SNESs, 2 NESs, 4 Wiis, a Virtual Boy. What else? 4 PS2s, 2 PS1s, Dreamcast controller, and a bunch of other stuff. And we got like a bunch of cables to go along with it. And this was just over years of us just collecting, like, oh, going on auctions or checking out Craigslist and all stuff and buying things that are like destroyed or disgusting and then cleaning them up. It was a cool idea. It was a cool idea. And technically we're doing it. We're just selling it through eBay instead of, we were hoping to like make it where we could stabilize the video game market. I know it sounds crazy. I know we were young back then. We had so much hope. We were like, what if we started selling video game consoles like for what they're worth without like the markup and stuff like that? What if we did that and tried to like lower the value of video game consoles to help make it fairer and easier for newcomers to get into collecting video games and stuff like that? Like back then we were like, oh, you know, they're freaking selling GameCubes for $60. That's crazy. We'll sell GameCubes for $40. Well, here's the problem. I had a very good idea of like what the market was back then, back in like 2018, a very good idea. I was like, this is how much this work. Boom. Yeah. COVID kind of changed that. Now GameCubes sell for over $100. So I don't know what the crap this market is anymore, so I don't have the insight to try to stabilize it. It was a pipe dream. If I'm being honest, it was just a pipe dream. It was one of the many things that Nooks and I were like, oh, we should open an arcade, or we should open a video game store. We should do this. We should do that. It was just kids dreaming, dude. And I know that was only like 4 years ago, but I don't know. It feels like a lifetime ago. Being like 20 years old versus now being 24, almost 25 years old. It's like, it feels like a lifetime ago. Just because I've learned so much. I mean, it's the difference between living at college and living on your own, married for 3 years. You learn a lot. You learn a lot about how the world works, how income works, taxes, and all that kind of legal aspects and stuff like that. You learn a lot. After you graduate college, you learn a lot in college. You learn a lot everywhere. I learn a lot every single day. 2 years from now, I'm going to say I didn't know crap when I was 24. But I don't know. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to figure things out. And Hatsune Miku is still dancing. Good moves, Miku. You're doing great. Okay. Still working on the game. Still working on the game. I learned a lot about how to open and close socket connections, TCP socket connections, via the help of a good friend of mine, Aram, genius programmer extraordinaire. I had an issue trying to connect to Twitch's chat servers and told him about it, and within 5 minutes from his phone he answered my question. He was like, oh, it's probably this, and you know what it was. Absolute genius. Help work on the he did some Hat in Time porting. He worked on Sonic, whatever the crap the new one's called, Gem, whatever the Sonic Origins. He helped work on that. Not like a terribly large amount, but like, you know, they brought him in for the tough stuff. That's how you know. That's how you know he's good. They bring him in for the tough stuff. It's good to have someone like that on my side, willing to, you know, help out a small boy in need like me. I'm just a small boy trying to make his way in the video game world. And yeah, I'm excited. We've pretty much got the game functional. It's just now we're trying to improve UI and making it look good. I think the biggest thing we're going to have to do is creating the avatar system. Don't tell anyone. That was a detail about the game. Don't tell anyone. The avatar system is going to probably be the toughest part to get going, because we're going to have to draw a bunch of like placeholder stuff, get things worked out with how that works, create objects, generalized prefabs and stuff like that to help try to, you know, make it all work. And yeah, it's slow going. It's slow going, but I still want to say it would be done by the end of this year, just because it's like, it's not like a super complex project. So I just want to make sure it's polished as crap. I don't want this game. The worst thing I can imagine is releasing a game and it just doesn't work. Like, that would be like, oh, that would hurt my soul. Because then I'd have to be like programming freaking 24 hours a day trying to figure out why this won't work. So I'm polishing the crap out of this. We're making it beautiful and functional and robust and modular. All the fancy computer science terms are going to be in this program. All the fancy terms. What else? I think I talked about how I was offered a job, a contract job working on a VR game. That didn't turn out. They haven't written me back in 2 weeks, so I'm going to assume that's a no. I'm just going to assume that's a no. So I was hoping they were going to give me a free Oculus. Wait, no, it's not called Oculus anymore. Meta Quest. They were going to give me a free Meta Quest to help program it. But nope. I'm afraid not. What else has been going on in my life? Well, I have a friend of mine who is moving away. Longtime friend of mine who is moving away into the great yonder world. And so I've been spending the past 2 or 3 months now, I guess it's been at this point, just trying to hang out with him any moment I could get. Any moment I had free, I was spending time with him. And now that time has come to an end. It is officially D-Day. It is officially D-Day. And so he's shipping out, and there we go. So I'm going to have a lot freer weekends, I guess. Because I was using, like I was canceling Friday streams left and right, doing things all Saturdays and Sundays and all that stuff. And I'm not going to lie, I got a little tired. This boy was moving. All those Saturdays where the introverted Andrew wants to, like, sit on the couch and relax. I was watching games and movies and all that kind of stuff with him. Also, you're not going to hear this, but the ending song just played, and it scared the crap out of me, because this is where the last podcast ended, so the ending music was playing. You're not going to hear it, though. I'm saving the end music for the end of the podcast, but boy, that was a jump scare and a half. Jeez Louise. Okay, so, yep, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays freeing up nicely, so I'm probably going to get some more rest, hopefully. I have to wake up earlier, though, because Nooks is starting to go to the gym in the morning, and I'm there for a little emotional support while she gets started with everything. So I'm waking up at 5:30 in the morning now. 5:30, not 6:30, sometimes 5:30. Can you believe that? This is the same guy that woke up at like 1 p.m. Now waking up at 5:30 a.m. What has the world come to? What have I done? Eating protein shakes. Whew. If we're not careful, we're gonna start getting healthy. Oh gosh, we can't have that. I need to eat potato chips and Domino's pizza. I can't be having protein drinks and vegetables and salads and wake up early. That's my whole identity gone. I'm the chip guy. I'm the one who wants the Cool Ranch Doritos. Did any of you, like, notice? I don't know, but, like, I don't know how many of you are, like, my age. Or I for some reason, every single party I've ever been to, or hangout session, or whatever, no matter what, they would always bring nacho cheese Doritos. And yet, nacho cheese Doritos, I thought, was the worst flavor of Doritos. Because they're just, I don't like them. I don't like them. And whenever you hear like, oh, Doritos, I love Doritos, like, usually like, oh yeah, the Cool Ranch. I always thought Cool Ranch was the popular one. But it turns out, apparently no one likes it. Because I'm the only one who brings Cool Ranch. And I brought Cool Ranch Doritos to a party, and I was the only one that ate it. The only one out of like the 15 people that were there, I was the only one who ate the Cool Ranch Doritos. Have I been living a lie? I thought for sure Cool Ranch Doritos was like the most popular Dorito flavor. I thought for sure, but apparently not. Everyone wants those nacho cheese, and the nacho cheese Doritos ain't even that freaking good. It's not even freaking good. I'm gonna say it again. Bruh. I will never understand the kids these days. Cool Ranch Doritos are far superior. They've got a superior flavor. Something about like regular Doritos just make me feel like bleh. Like eating the nacho cheese ones, it's just, I need that like high note flavor. Do you know what I mean? Like nacho cheese Doritos got that low note flavor. If you eat too many low notes, you just start feeling bleh. I like having those high notes. It's like, ooh, you know what I mean? Like the Cool Ranch, the salt and vinegars, the kind of things that just kind of like hit you right up there. Man, except for Parmesan. Parmesan cheese got that low notes and they're so freaking good. I've been grating Parmesan cheese lately. I've been like hand grating my Parmesan cheese. Oh. I'm sorry. It's just so good. There's something about hand grating your Parmesan cheese that is just phenomenal. You put it on your tongue and it just like melts and it's like, oh. Sometimes I'll catch myself getting a spoonful. Sometimes I might just catch myself getting a spoonful of Parmesan cheese. I should make like a grilled cheese, put a little bit of Parmesan in there. Oh, dude, check out. Let me tell you about my fancy cooking. Bread, cheese, and Parmesan. Oh, it's so good. I'm a professional chef, an absolute professional chef. I have been cooking more though. I don't know what it's called. I don't know if I can pronounce it right. I thought it was carbonara, but I might be pronouncing it wrong. It's basically bacon, egg, cheese, spaghetti, and it is so good. I don't think technically it's supposed to be bacon. I think it's supposed to be like something specific, but bacon's easy. Unless maybe it is bacon. I don't freaking know. But I have a pan with bacon and olive oil, getting that all sizzled up. Boil the spaghetti. Get a bowl, put a couple eggs and some Parmesan cheese in there, mix that up. Then you put the noodles into the bacon. Mix that up. And then you take the egg and Parmesan cheese and you pour it in there. The heat of the spaghetti cooks the egg. And as you mix it, it becomes a creamy sauce. And you eat that, and oh, it's so good. It is so good. I'm surprised that I was actually able to pull it off. Because I've always wanted to cook, but I've been known to make some atrocious things in my life. As a kid, I wanted to, you know, be a chef. So I made a special bread where I would take a bread, put turkey seasoning on it, and Little Caesar's salt packet, and then toast it and eat it. And I thought it was the greatest thing. I also thought that bread balls were the great. You took off the crust, you squished it into a ball, and then you toast it, and it was called bread balls. And then high school, I tried to make breadsticks and cheese sauce, but it turned out I put in twice as much mustard as I was supposed to. So yeah, and I also didn't season the breadsticks, so it was just dry, flavorless bread and in dipping it in mustard. That was probably my worst offension. Someone here, though, is going to think that's good. Someone here listening to this is going to be like, oh, Andrew, that sounds really good. It wasn't. Let me just tell you right now, it was not good. But this carbonara, whatever the crap, that's freaking good. I actually managed to do something. I am very, very proud of myself. Granted, that's all I know how to cook. Everything else comes from my box. But you know, you gotta start somewhere. You gotta start somewhere. In my culinary journey, you gotta start somewhere. I can make cookies and I can make pasta. But I don't like having just straight up pasta and marinara. I don't know why. I just really don't like eating just pasta and tomato sauce. It's just something about it just grosses me out. It's not like it's particularly bad. It's just like I eat it and I just feel like, I like more of like an Alfredo, like fettuccine Alfredo, spaghetti Alfredo. Like that crap is so good. But like spaghetti with meat sauce just makes me go like, maybe I just haven't had the good stuff. Maybe I just haven't had the good stuff. Maybe I'm too busy eating Prego and Ragu to really understand how good of a flavor it is. Oh well. Oh well. It's fine. I got my bacon egg sauce. which is fantastic. I'm just a cheese guy. I just freaking love cheese. I just really love cheese. It is so good. And with that, I think it's about time that we end the podcast, only because it's getting to the point where Nook's going to start coming home and I got to clean up the house. I got to get everything cleaned. And Miku, feel free to keep dancing. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that at all. This podcast was kind of all over the place, wasn't it? This is the kind of podcast. Sometimes I come into this and I'm like, oh, I know what I want to talk about. This is the one where I kind of sat down and was like, I have no idea what to talk about. I'm just going to throw on some Miku and just start talking. But I hope it was enjoyable. I hope this was able to give you a moment of like, ah, Andrew's in the room next to me, spouting nonsense. But that's okay. That's what I'm hoping for. Imagine me sitting in your house right now, just spouting nonsense. You know, freaking Sonic trailer. I just don't like. I do know Breath of the Wild trailer. That was good. You know, E3. I prefer it in June. I prefer it mid June compared to early June. Early June's too early. Mid June's mid. I love it. It's so good. And I cooked carbonara, and it's so good. Well, that's the end of the podcast. I'll see you for episode 27. When 27 happens, I hope you have a good night. A good rest and a good night.